So here's Josh Smith, who got it all started with a walk, and he cranks this one deep to right. This one might get out of the yard, and it does. Just over the front wall, it hits the back wall, shoots back onto the field of play, but we call that a home run. And with a man on, a two-run shot, it's 5-1 Texas.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
How can you not be romantic about a trade deadline that's happening with a team that is red hot, that has forced themselves right back into the division race? It is Diamond Cavs here on 105 through the Fan. It is the hottest team in baseball. Now, the Mets would argue that the Mets have won more games in a row. The Mets have a 7-game win streak, Rangers 6. But Rangers have won 9 of 10, while the Mets have won 7 of 10. So I don't know about you guys, but I think the 9 of 10 supersedes the one extra game win streak.
There is that. Yeah. And I still, from looking at the schedule earlier, I still cannot believe what the Rangers have done in the last 27, where it was 25 of the last 27. They have either won, gone to extras, or lost by a run.
That's competitive.
That's insane.
That's competitive baseball.
Is that competitive, or is that going to be the little fluky one run?
No, because when they're winning games, they're beating teams down. It just shows they beat teams down and then had narrow losses.
Yeah, the pitching has obviously been tremendous all year, and you got DeGrom going tonight against the Angels. But
when does John Gray replace Rocker? I put that in my notes.
You know, I wonder how many ramp ups he had leading up to his return last week. Because if he didn't, you know, then they'd probably keep him in the pen for, you know, give him like a spring, use as a spring training, you know, so like get his innings up. But speaking of innings, Jack Leiter went yesterday. The Rangers get an 8-1 victory over Atlanta. In the last 27 innings, so over five starts, he's allowed 9 runs. That's a 3 ERA. 32 strikeouts, so way more than a strikeout. Not way more, but more than a strikeout per inning. 13 walks, so his strikeout-to-walk ratio is about, 2.5, Bobby, math guys? Mm-hmm. He's gone 6 innings in 3 of the 5. He's gone into the 6th on 4 of the 5. So that's great. If you can get Jack Leiter to pick things up and to go out there and give you 6 innings and 2 runs an inning on average, you'll sign up for that any day of the week.
Watch the Braves fire Snitker this week after the series.
Well, I mean, people have been kind of talking about him anyway, you know, being let go, and especially after this series, you know, where they just got worked. They got worked. But if they did that, you know, he's older. He's a lifer. He's been there 50 years in that organization. How about that? He's been in that organization for 50 dang years.
Wow.
It's amazing. He is an absolute lifer. He's done a tremendous job. They're taking over an old guy, kind of a throwback, last of his era, really, last of his kind.
Jeez, he's been there 10 years now.
As the manager,
that does not feel like he's been the manager.
I know. Got a World Series, so, but they might. I mean, people are talking about him as just not paying attention during the games, getting older, kind of losing focus.
And now you're 4 games back of the Astros and the wild card situation.
Wild card situation. I mean, you're right there. I mean, you are right there.
So tied
right
for now, the third spot.
Tied for the third spot with Seattle.
Wow.
Half game back of Boston, who's got the 2 spot. Game and a half back of the Yankees, who have the first spot. They just lost Judge. So if you, by the way, Yankees come to town next week. If you have tickets to Monday, I'm very sorry. Aaron Judge is not playing. Like that baseball fans want to see that. I think he's slated to come off the DL on Tuesday. He might not come off. They're saying he might come off right away.
IL.
RJ. IL, I'm sorry. but he would be DH only, right? So he can't throw for a while.
People were wondering if he was going to be out for the year.
There was talk about that with the UCL, but it's a flexor strain. But you are going to get to see something pretty amazing, and that is Giancarlo Stanton play the outfield.
Oh,
that-
oh man.
So if you're hitting, literally pepper the ball to right field. You'll get a double or a triple every single time.
It's like, you remember him in the field is like...
What could you compare it to?
The 2010 World Series.
No, come on.
No, you know what I'm about to reference? 2010, they go to San Francisco for that first game, and they're like, we can't have Vlad's bat out of the lineup.
Yeah.
And they threw him in right field, and by God, it was like the second inning, there was a ball that he had to just lumber. It was like... It was awful watching him try to chase that ball down.
This would be like trying to beat the shift. This was if people could just punch the ball to right field, you are getting a double every single time at minimum.
Just because he can't run.
He can't run. It's wild. Like trying to watch him run. Barstool posted a video of Frank the Tank running down the hallway, and he goes, "This is a live shot of Giancarlo Stanton trying to go after any ball in the gap." And it's just like a lumbering, cannot move kind of guy. So we will see what happens with that. But if you go to the Tuesday and Wednesday's game, you probably see Judge hit if you do care about that. Buster Olney says the tide has shifted. Tide has shifted on the Texas Rangers and the Buzz. And he says, quote, look for Texas to now be aggressive at the deadline. Yep. So, I'll read you the write-up. If you were to line up all the MLB president of baseball ops and GMs on a spectrum from most competitive to least, Chris Young would probably pick himself to be the most competitive of the peers would, which is why other teams assume the Rangers.
By the way, this Chris Young competitor thing is starting to like wear me out, like Dak's leadership thing.
Oh.
Like all we hear about. Chris, no one wants to win as much as Chris Young. Like, Chris Young just loses sleep. It's not Chris's fault. It's just I hear about his competitive nature in every single article just as much as Dak's leadership.
And sometimes it is said, though, in, like, a negative way. Like, it is said, like, he's so competitive, like, you need to let go.
You could be too competitive. You lose perspective.
There's people within the organization that I think he grinds on.
Yeah.
You know, it's this intense every single day that's –
That's not real. It's baseball. You're going to lose 60 games. Every team's going to lose 60 games.
Which you think he would have a
you think
great
you'd have a great understanding
handle
of that.
On
yes.
as a player.
And I wonder if being a pitcher takes some of that away because you're not playing every day.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe like maybe the second baseman is, I don't know, right?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, think about like we hear about the weird routines like Scherzer had as a pitcher. It's like, I don't talk to people. And like, I mean, they're
look
just
at Boone.
Beasts.
Boone, from day one, has had this overall perspective.
Yeah.
I've never gotten a sense in talking to Brett on Wednesdays at 9:20. Like, boom, like, today, it has to happen. He's big picture from the jump with him. Position player every day.
Position players fail 70% of the time. Pitchers succeed 70% of the time. Like, I think it's just a different mindset. But they said a few weeks ago, the assumption among other clubs would the Rangers would become dealers and perhaps move Adolis and others. But they've won 9 of 10, and they start... They started yesterday a half game out. Now they're right there in that third wild card position. They limped into the postseason and wound up winning the World Series in 2023. So obviously this could happen again. Now, what are some of the...
By the way, what I'm hearing early about them is like, and Choppy, you've heard a little bit of the same thing. What are they willing to do with the tax?
Right. It's the money. You know, are they willing to go into the tax? And that's one of the big questions. So Eugenio Suarez is like the golden goose of this trade deadline. I have no idea what it's going to take to get him. Some of these other teams have already said, you know what, we need a third baseman. We're getting somebody else. We're not going to pay what they're asking. So maybe that number comes down, what they're asking for. But are you willing to go over the tax? CY is going to pressure ownership to do that. But the third year, this is like a big year for them with that tax number. They would like to ideally, I think, probably stay under this, but it's like, are you going to just go for it? You're an owner. You're this close. You got these two guys at the top of your rotation. I think you got to take, I mean, it's not my money. It's easy to spend somebody else's money.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you're trading Seager, so we can use that money.
Well, yes, that's right. so I don't know what they're going to do.
They're going to buy.
Yeah.
No, but how they're going to go over the tax or not?
Yeah, they're going to get a reliever and hopefully a bat.
I would hope so.
Please be a better reliever than Andrew Chafin was last year at the deadline. That
do
did
you
not
do
work
you
out.
Buy and like you know? So if you're going to buy and they still want to stay under the tax, does this mean they buy and sell at the same time? You know, and the Buster mentioned Adolis there. I don't know if they're going to move Adolis, but you know if they do, that's buying and selling. And you can find somebody. DH obviously is one. They probably don't want Jock Peterson the way he has hit this year or not hit and been injured to be out there all that often. It is Diamond Cavs here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's play this audio. This is from Houston. It's the A's. Now, Nick Kurtz.
And the Astros just got swept by Oakland.
Yes, they did.
Or Sacramento, where the hell they are, Vegas.
So Kurtz had a 4-home-run game over the weekend. But this might be the worst home run call in the history of the sport. This is Lawrence Butler up there. It's in the ninth inning, and he smacks a 3-run home run. It was a 2-1 game, and he busts this one open with a 3-run shot. Now, this is the backup announcer, Chris Carey. He was on the call. The A's on their Twitter took this down because it was so bad and put the radio call up. You can't tell on the broadcast necessarily, but we put it on the fan cam. Aiden has it, and we'll show you, and we'll explain it.
1-2 pitch. High in the air, deep to right. That ball is foul. Or gone.
That ball was absolutely launched. Law Dog posing him up at the dish. He knew it off the bat. It was just a matter of how far.
So, it was not foul. It was to right center. It was basically in the bullpen.
Yes. This was not close.
This was not close. I don't know how you could screw this up.
It's so bad, too, because it's like...
Even John Sterling couldn't screw that up.
No. The commentator right after that, like, making point of, like, the batter knew that was gone the second he hit it.
Yeah.
That was destroyed.
It's not your night.
Like, just underlining, like, there's no way that was ever fouled.
Yes.
It's so bad.
That's probably the worst... Is that the worst miss we can remember or have seen?
It's pretty bad.
Oh, man.
I can't think of another one.
Like, you're looking down, you're writing something, then you looked. I don't know. I can't understand how he missed
I can't imagine how you missed this one. I mean, there's been, like, Sterling, you mentioned, had one where it was, like, fly ball. He thought the Stanton one was gone, but it was just, like, it hit at the wall. But, you know, he was 100 years old. Ichiro went into the Hall of Fame yesterday. So did Billy Wagner, C.C. Sabathia, Dave Parker, among
others. Dave Parker, he was putting on a show. He said, get my bus right. I'm sexy. Don't mess up that statue.
So, Ichiro spoke, and Ichiro got 99.7% of the vote. Only him and Jeter got one guy who didn't vote for him. Mariano Rivera had a full unanimous. Griffey had like two or three guys that didn't vote for him. But here is Ichiro kind of calling out, trying to make a joke up there at the podium.
And to the Miami Marlins, I appreciate David Sampson and Mike Hill for coming today. Honestly, when you guys called to offer me a contract for 2015, I have never heard of your team.
No way.
Damn.
That can't be true, right? Like, surely they played the Marlins at some point during his Seattle tenure.
He knew. He's funny. Like, there have been clips over the years of, like, he's got a good sense of humor. He's hilarious.
Yeah.
So, I wanted to run down some, throw some names out, Tori, because, like, this is, like, Hall of Fame, obviously, was over the weekend, right?
Yeah, we just played the clip.
Which guys, name these guys on the cusp, yes or no? Freddie Freeman.
Yes.
Yes.
Nolan Arenado.
No.
No.
Manny Machado.
No.
Yes.
Paul Goldschmidt.
Carter saying yes to Arenado and Goldschmidt. No. This is without looking at numbers. I'm just going off the top of my head.
Aaron Judge.
Yes.
Yes.
Chris Sale.
He's great.
Yeah, he's great, but no.
Bryce.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lindor.
No.
Altuve.
Yes.
No. I mean, he's got the... It's like the steroids, guys. Can't put him in.
Gerrit Cole.
No.
No.
Shohei. Oh, it's a dumb one now. But, I mean, he's got to get...
I mean, look...
He's got to get 10 years.
He broke the cardinal rule of baseball.
Shohei, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I absolutely.
Is there anyone so far you've strongly disagreed with?
No.
Okay.
No. Mookie?
Yes.
Yep.
Max?
Scherzer? Yes. He had a nice day yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
10 strikeouts.
Let's see. Kenley Jansen?
No.
Man, Jansen was so good for so long. I would say yeah.
Chapman?
No.
Jansen's had a better career than Chapman?
I think so.
I'd have to go look.
I mean, especially if you talk about the big moments.
There you go.
All right, there it is. Diamond Cavs on the home of your Texas Rangers with RJ Choppy, brought to you in part by Treeline by Hillwood, a stunning new master plan community in Justin, Texas. It's a new Music Monday, and y'all, one of your worst Luka nightmares just came true. I might ruin your Monday morning with this next on The Fan. Did Jake Ferguson deserve that contract extension? We will revisit in Below the Belt on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. It's show number one in Oxnard here on 105.3 The Fan. Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and Roberto live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Brought to you in part by Wild Fork Foods. Kair Elam, one of the stories of the offseason, going to join us at 9 o'clock today. Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com at 9:20. It's a new Music Monday with Zach Wolchuk. I can't tell whether he was trying to insult Bobby last night at dinner or he really thought the segment should be canceled, but that was Wolchuk when New Music Monday came up. We are in worst-case scenario. I think this is second worst case scenario. The first is Luka Doncic winning a championship with the Lakers. This is the second biggest nightmare that just came true. Luka is on the cover of Men's Health magazine.
As a cautionary tale, or
Aiden, if you can get this cover, I'm warning you on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube, do not break your computer. He is sitting here talking extensively about his off-season training and body transformation, and the quote is, "If I stop now, it was all for nothing." If you could pick any magazine in the entire world, besides the cover of Sports Illustrated, ESPN, the magazine, if those still exist, of Luka holding the trophy, this is the other nightmare cover and magazine and illustration that just came true. It's Luka on here carrying a weight while running, and it says Luka Doncic muscles up, the skinny, on Luka Star's summer shred.
He looks great. He looks like he is just ready to crush it. This is not, we're past the question that we always had of like, well, is this the angle? Is this that? No, we're past that now. He's in as good of shape as he's been since probably his rookie year. And it's concerning. It's not even that. It's just, it's upsetting.
It's upsetting.
That they gave up as easy as they did.
Although, RJ, GN Choppy is about to come in here and pick this. GNC.
Oh.
C, Choppy.
Ah, gotcha.
You look like you're going to make us feel better here? You're going to pick this apart?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's hear it.
Men's Health has a history of photoshopping muscle definition on the covers of their athletes.
Are you being for real?
Yeah. Yeah, they have.
I'm not even seeing muscle definition. I don't even care about that. He's so lean.
He is lean, but look, the right arm, okay, the right arm looks defined. The left arm looks thin, okay? Why does the right arm look defined?
Because one's in the light.
Because he's holding a weight.
Yeah, he's holding
It's already making him tense up.
Okay.
They're making it look like he's dribbling with a weight, right? It's like the boxers who punch with 5-pound weights in their hands.
If that shot was taken last year, even with him holding the weight, does it look like that, though?
They can make it look like that, but no, it doesn't. You're right. No, listen, there's no doubt he has lost weight.
Yeah.
Okay. He looks
like he's like 25 or 30 pounds lighter.
He looked fat in his Lakers. Yeah, he looked bloated.
Yeah.
But again, what we talked about, this is Slovenia. This is Slovenia food he's eating. Okay, European food, no red dyes.
Look, here's,
right? they've been Maha 50 years down there. All right, so they
have a brisket sando.
Yeah, they've been eating healthy and clean for years.
Tolo Matt, Bobby's not going to agree with this. I kind of agree with it. This is Matt. I know it's probably not what you want to hear, but Luka was never going to make this transformation staying in Dallas. They've been begging him to be in better shape for years, and he wouldn't do it. He needed to be traded for this to happen, like a girl being broken up with. And I agree. And if you support Nico Harrison and you're a Mavs fan first, this picture can make you angry at Luka Doncic, and you can be justified. Why didn't you do it? Why didn't you do it here? And I do think it had to take this type of embarrassment in order. He's a woman scarred.
When did the Mavericks publicly ever call it out?
Jason Kidd called out his effort and defense and conditioning once, I think.
Yeah, they never really did it. It could get kind of weight would get leaked to McMahon.
They said it behind the scenes, right? Yeah. to him.
Yeah.
They never said, with J.J. Redick, we need players in shape.
Yeah.
You know, we need this, we need that. Like, they publicly called it out. And I think
it wasn't just that. I don't think it's as much that calling out. I think it was the getting traded. This is him feeling humiliated by the Mavericks.
That too.
Here's the problem. He is a notorious, like, this has become his thing. The best motivator for him has always been, like, revenge and anger. If you get that to it, we see it in games so many times. Oh, somebody messed with me. All of a sudden, I'm going to go off for 60. Oh, this happened. That's his whole motivation. So I understand that takes work, and that's probably irritating for the Mavericks to feel like they need to be on top of that, or Nico to feel on top of that. But
they couldn't get him in shape.
But yeah. I mean, like, that's the other thing is that, like,
you
find the pressure points. And, like, they didn't want to do it. For Nico, he didn't want him to just be in shape. He wanted him to have, like, the heart and motivation of, like, this is like the life I want to lead. And if that wasn't going to be the case, they didn't want to just push buttons.
Bobby, you're making excuses.
No, it's not an excuse.
He should have done it. And he didn't. He was lazy about it.
What does that have to do with, like, that is the explanation? It's not an excuse. I'm saying that's what it is.
What?
Is that the...
You blaming it on Nico?
No, I'm saying... Luka was not going to do this here on his own. That was not going to happen. He was going to be the player that he was. The only way you were going to get anything out of him like this was finding pressure points to motivate him through bitterness or anger. Like, that's his motivation. That's what he does.
Then put him on the trade market.
But that's exactly what I'm saying. Find whatever that is and do that. Don't trade him.
Yeah, they just went up and said, they just got rid of him. Like, fix it. You know, put him on the trade market. Go through, like, crazy... It's like marriage. It's like relationship therapy. We'll just end the relationship. Go through therapy.
We're going to leave the kid at the adoption shelter. Yeah. Like, we're just, like, leaving him here at the your Oliver Twist. Now,
and I also think
you've been a difficult kid.
I don't know if this is fair or not, but I wonder, like, the Lakers saying something does have, like, cachet to it.
Maybe.
Luka could say, "You're the Mavericks. You're going to tell me what to do. I'm Luka Doncic."
Yeah.
The Lakers say it.
Yeah. Dude, he's on the cover of Men's Health magazine.
Yeah, he is.
That's the worst, like, sentence I could form.
Uh-huh.
If I came up with that over the last two or three seasons. He's going to be on the cover of Men's Health. That's a nightmare.
Yeah.
And he looks freaking good. And Mark Stein is firing back up the LeBron talk. This is Mark Stein, who is maybe the best Mavs insider there is. I believe that LeBron James does have some genuine curiosity about playing in Dallas. They have not tried to trade for him and do not want to trade him. But look, if there's a buyout, the Mavs would certainly be interested. So he's not talking about the Mavs don't want to trade all their depth.
Right.
But if LeBron gets bought out as a free agent, which the Lakers don't plan to buy him out in August or September, LeBron would be interested here.
And look, if they buy him out, I mean, then sign me up.
Yeah.
I don't want to trade four depth guys for him.
I'm still thinking about it.
I think the Mavs view their depth as their top attribute.
Yeah.
They would rather have all those. They would rather be able to go 10 deep than have LeBron, you know.
Yeah.
And a thinner roster, because I think we've seen around the league.
Literally a thinner roster.
Literally. A thin to win is not a thing in the NBA.
It would have been a thinner roster with Luka.
That's right. So, yeah, you buy him out, though, and then now they're paying X amount of his salary, and you can get that.
Why would the Lakers buy him out? Like, that'd be stupid. He'd have to force it.
The players run the league, and he would say, "I want out."
Or if they look at it and they're finding out the same thing the Mavericks did for years, which is it takes a certain kind of player to play with Luka, and we need money to be able to find those guys.
All right, so there it is. The latest LeBron James rumor and report. It's a new Music Monday.
I'm Casey Kasem.
Coming up next are the three biggest hits of the year.
I think we got a banger, a Morgan Wallen banger.
Okay.
All right, Carter Freeman, you are Mr. Record Player. I'm going to label you as a music, not influencer, but I respect your music knowledge within the building.
So I appreciate that.
Let's get Carter on to judge New Music Monday.
All right, first one here.
Did you go running last night after dinner?
No, absolutely not.
Good.
I went to bed.
Otherwise, I would have said, take your headphones off.
That'll be tonight.
That would have been sickening.
We've got a Morgan Wallen track. This is Morgan Wallen, Lil Wayne, and Rick Ross. We're just only getting the hook for Morgan Wallen here, but this is his new song, Miami, which is very catchy.
It ain't nothing like where I'm from, no. Yeah, I can keep my gun in my tuck. They don't know my name at these bars.
and you can't even see any stars in Miami. You got me in my head for a couple days now, but it don't hit the same as
I love Tennessee. This hook is catchy.
It's the same thing as every other Morgan Wallen song. But yeah. So he hates New York but likes Miami.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's
surprising to me.
That's safe harbor now.
Safe harbor now. Carter, what do you think about Morgan Wallen in general?
In general, I think his albums have way too many songs. Every album has...
They're like 20, they're 25 deep.
We're talking like triple albums.
Yeah.
And to me, that's too much.
Oh.
So it's... I can't sit and listen to that front to back. It's very like playlist to me.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. But that's nice and light. And I guess this is a remix of a song from the most recent album. And look,
yeah,
if you're going to have a song called Miami... Get Rick Ross on it, right? Like, that just makes sense.
This got universally dragged last week.
Mm.
People were saying this is one of the worst things. Now, these are Morgan Wallen fans.
Yeah.
Saying this is one of the worst things they've ever heard. But I don't think this is actually designed to Morgan Wallen fans. This is designed towards, like, regular music fans. I don't think it's all that bad. I could listen to that.
Let's go back to, we were listening to this in the car yesterday. Coe Wetzel, Tarleton State alum. Texas boy, Coe Wetzel.
Right room.
Surrounded.
Everywhere I turn, in this godforsaken place, maybe I deserve to feel a little more pain. I can't run it, I can't fight.
That's good.
I like it.
Yeah, he's good.
This is more my kind of country. More the poppy Morgan Wallen stuff.
And I like that. I like that little acoustic guitar plug-in. That I like it. It's I like Coe Wetzel a lot. He's really good.
This is RJ's type of country now too, if you know what I mean.
And then the biggest.
You're right.
The biggest.
He's right.
The biggest name to release something over the weekend was Drake.
Man,
what?
I feel like I got judged just walking around yesterday. Like, I went to the store and people kept looking at me like weird. I wasn't wearing. I had a golf hat on. I wasn't wearing anything like Texas or American, right?
What do you think they're looking at?
I don't know. They could smell that I'm not one of them.
Yo, you think you just you give off such manhood?
No,
they were judging you.
He just stood up in the middle of the store and started saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah,
and they tried to get everybody to
hearing
chant
him
USA.
And Chia follow at this bar yesterday, going up, talking Americana in Texas versus California. I should have recorded that.
I wanted to bring my American flag overalls. But I was like, you can't. American flag here is a hate crime.
Bobby Texas.
Last one here. Biggest artist released. Released an absolutely awful song. Aubrey Graham with Central C.
I want to spin you around. If I go Link Gang, I'll bring you around. If I go to the bar, I'll bring you around. Which one? You're not letting things you around. You're a real good girl, so I'm bringing you down. But...
Wow.
All y'all putting the hate on?
Kendrick Lamar knocked a Jamaican accent into Drake. It's outside.
I can't. Anything with Central C, I'm out on.
It's terrible.
I can't do British accent hip hop.
Drake has done so many different accents over the years, too, that he just like got away with because he was popular. But now that he's been taken down by Kendrick, it's like, now we can look at this and be like, no, this is awful. And the last song he released, What Did I Miss?
Nokia.
I thought was actually decent. And then he goes back to just absolute garbage with this song.
This is terrible. This is absolute garbage. I hate this song.
It's a new Music Monday with Roberto here on Sean and RJ live from Oxnard, California. Did Jake Ferguson deserve that extension, or did the Cowboys act too early? That and Kair Elam joins us at 9. It's all on the way here on The Fan.
Will there be any pie left over for Micah Parsons? We'll talk about it here in Below the Belt, which is brought to you by D&M Leasing. You can check them out at dmautoleasing.com. Pie, you're not a key lime pie fan. He was telling us last week, right?
Oh, I love key lime.
I love it too.
Yeah, I like...
What's your top pie?
There's a lot of people actually who don't like pie.
I'm not a huge pie. Warm apple pie.
Yeah.
Has to be warm. My mom just leaves it out. Doesn't warm it up. I'm like, do you even know?
Either way,
do you even
man.
Food?
I'm good with it either way.
Yeah, that's about it. Warm apple pie.
Does it have to have the ice cream scoop on it?
No.
Yeah, I do need that. And pecan. Warm pecan pie.
Favorite pie?
I mean, if I had to have one slice, I guess it'd be apple, but I could go with cherry.
Man, when somebody...
Have it at Huckleberry. I heard that's pretty decent.
When somebody,
I'm your Huckleberry.
R.I.P. Val.
When somebody
when somebody hits the pecan pie filling right,
yeah,
that is
a lot of times it's too sweet.
That's
though.
The thing is that usually it's it's too inconsistent. A lot of places don't do it right, or it's just. But if you get that nailed, there's nothing. There's no better dessert, I don't think. So the reason why we're talking about pie and getting into that is because there's going to only be so much pie to go around. Back in 2019, the Cowboys leaned into this phrase. And it was funny. I tweeted about it yesterday, something about this is their pie economics again. And I had a bunch of people going like, what does that mean? What is pie? And I said, Bub, remember they used to say there's only so much pie to grow. That feels like a lifetime ago, I guess, people, because they're like, oh, I totally forgot the Cowboys said that about pie. And that's really the last time they were in a situation like the one they're in now was 2019, where they entered the offseason and they had some guys that were eligible for deals, Jalen Smith, Lyle Collins, different people like that. But they had, like, pressing questions about their stars. Amari Cooper was entering the last year of his deal. Dak was entering the last year of his deal. Zeke was basically threatening to just not show up and then didn't show up to training camp if he didn't get his deal done. So those were kind of your core guys that needed deals done. Well, the Cowboys, during that offseason, they went and signed Lyle Collins. They signed Jalen Smith to contract extensions, the one that felt, like, lower down the priority list. But those two came to them and said, hey, we'll get a deal done. If you guys got the coffers open, we'll get something done. And the Cowboys ended up signing those deals and in both instances publicly talked about, this is kind of what we're talking about. There's only so much money to go around.
Right.
You're going to start losing out on opportunities if you don't just hurry up and make a deal. So is that kind of what was at play yesterday as we are getting ready to take off from Dallas? We're sitting in the airport and we see the news that Jake Ferguson has signed a 4-year, $52 million deal. That's $13 million annually, which is the seventh highest paid tight end on average in the NFL. And I think this is absolutely a Jalen Smith, Lyle Collins type strategy of just, hey, we'd love to get a deal done if this deal makes sense for us. So does the timing, because now we can just say, oh, look, I mean, we've got to get you done.
But
like,
that
quick,
should factor in. That should factor in zero to handing out contracts.
In terms of,
yeah, you're faking. They're faking. Try to fake pressure leverage. Like he has leverage. You have leverage too. You don't need to fake the leverage.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying it's a strategy that works or is correct. I'm saying I think they are absolutely approaching this with the idea of that's one of the things they can do is they can say, well, look, we just had to give Jake Ferguson $13 million instead of just saying we'll replace with a cheaper tight end, a rookie tight end. Like that's money that's on the books now,
right,
that we have to worry about.
My thing is like that tactic doesn't work on the top line guys. Their money is their money. They're getting their money regardless. You know who that works on? That works on Jake Ferguson.
No, I think it's an, I think
it works on Tolbert.
I think it's an overall strategy, and I'm not saying it's going to work or that it's a good one, but I think it is. That's one part of it. The other part of it is, we'll introduce doubt that do we even want you here? We'll do this. We'll do that. And now you're going to start feeling like, well, if I really want to be here, I think the Cowboys think Micah wants to be here regardless. And I think they think, yeah, he is brand savvy. He doesn't understand these things. And so he knows more than anybody else.
He puts extra value in being a Cowboy.
He knows that more than anybody. All these players we've tried to sell the idea of like the value of being a Cowboy, that it hasn't worked to like get a discount. This is the guy we might be able to lean on for it.
Brian Schottenheimer yesterday on the relief of getting Jake Ferguson signed.
Yeah, I think it is a sense of relief. I think, you know, each situation is very different. Everybody's a little different how they want to, look at it, the business side of it. And, okay, there's numbers involved and business is business. But I think each person is a little different. And each situation, each contract, the negotiation, the money, the years, all those things are very, very different. So, but thrilled for Jake, his family, what he's done. I guess now he can afford the rock that he gave his sweetie. So that's awesome.
Afford the what?
Afford the rock he gave his sweetie.
So this felt a little premature to me. I was fine with a prove it from Ferguson, with the back end backfiring possibly of what could Jake give me such an unexpectedly great year that it really punishes me when I have to pay him to reward him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not thinking, right, Ferguson's one really good year was 71 catches for 761 and 5. If he does that again, am I going to get punished waiting a year versus giving him this now and committing to a guy that I thought we all had questions about, and that's why we put so much focus on this year? that was my initial gut reaction of, I would have liked to see Ferg play it out. Otherwise, just replace him with another Ferguson or another Schultz.
I think that they...
And I love Jake Ferguson from a personal standpoint. I think he's got that rare dog in him. Again, Overshown's my favorite defensive player personality, and Ferguson has been my favorite offensive player personality, and I think we'll be getting him this week live on the show.
Yeah, and...
And I won't say any of that
to you. the thing I think, too, is that the Cowboys may look at it and say, we don't think that was him last year. He wasn't playing with Dak for a lot of the year. He had the concussion issue. He had gotten hurt early in the season.
First game.
Yeah, and that was a moment where I think they were terrified, like, this might be a serious season-ending thing. And so I think they think there's some context here that he's going to have a strong season, and they're going to get ahead of something that's going to end up looking like a deal as part of it. Second, and here's the other thing. And let me try to draw an analogy here to make it as real world as possible.
Please,
so
please try.
You are, oh, man, I was about to pay you some compliments too. And wow. Now you're please try. You generally around the station, I feel like to give feedback on people who are trying to get better, or you like to give them advice on try this or do this, or the way you have talked to Jake about how to like do things differently. And when people seek advice for you, you're usually willing to dole it out and try to give it. And that's probably a value that you add to the station that doesn't show up on the surface necessarily of just what you do on the air. I think they feel like Ferguson, that's a very critical aspect of what he does, is that there's such a strong leadership and clubhouse trait, like pro clubhouse trait, and a guy who sets the tone and is such a perfect example, we'll get ahead of it. We'll get ahead of keeping that here because that is worth so much to us, and really driving that point home. That guy to them, I think, is the idea of like, you may have this guy's the leader, or there's this or that or whatever else. Ferguson, I think, to them is going to be the guy they consistently point to. Is like, that's what it means to be a Cowboy.
There's some Dak-like intangibles they see in him, maybe.
Yeah, and I think they think that the work ethic, the coming from a football coach's family, or that, like, they're Witten traits there. It's just right. A little bit more, it's almost like Witten with a little bit more S to him, like a little more edge to him, and want to do that. And I think they just really value
Witten had
that
some edge to him, man. Witten had some edge.
No,
to
yeah,
him.
Right. I don't want to say that. I mean more like the swagger with
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah.
Like,
yeah. He definitely has more like swagger than Jason. But you know, that's all great. That's probably true. But can you afford to do that in a cap league?
Yeah, I think so. I think when you're talking about that position.
Like, would Howie do that?
I think when you're talking about
is
that
Howie
position.
Is Howie keep people around and say, oh, I just know what it means to be an Eagle?
Howie trades for all the running backs and stuff, though, too. But I think that what you look at with this instance is, at that position, yes. Like, am I going to... I'm trying to think of somebody who's similar on a plane. Like, if it's one of the three or four high speed, you could be the greatest defensive end leader in the world. I'm not paying you top five edge money unless you're a top five edge performer. Like, I think there's just a little bit of the money is
okay,
so tightly compacted
so
in there that
smaller,
you say,
yeah.
We'll pay we may go up a little
okay,
more
I get
because
you.
There is a value there, and he provides something within not only that room but within this building and the things that he does.
I understand what you're saying, RJ. It's like, let's pay you for how good you are on the field. To me, a little bit of me worries, like, you should have enough. I don't know. It's double-edged. You want to reward, like, your greatest leaders and energy guys, but I also want to have a surplus of it to where, like, yeah. I don't want to overcompensate and overpay you for that because I don't have it left over
yeah.
if it's gone.
Here, Dak is the face. He is the presidential politician face that you want answering questions that demand a political answer, right? If you need somebody to come out here and... I'm defending something, or I'm up. Travis Frederick used to be that guy. Frederick was the I'm up here to give you the I'm basically the like the union
the
rep.
Company.
I'm the union rep, and I'm here to give you the effective emotional answer. That's Ferguson for them. Like, I think in that building, right. If they want somebody to come out here and defend their culture and talk up, hey, this is where it is, and
yeah.
say it with a little bit of edge to it.
Yeah,
and
he went after Schultz.
He did, and I think
he goes after guys on the field,
and that's something that they love. And Schottenheimer talked about it a little bit. The idea of just the kind of edge that he brings.
It's
on
like
the field.
PJ Washington edge a
yeah.
little bit. That's what Mavs fans probably overinflate PJ a little bit because he's willing to flex on people. I think that's what we're talking about here a lot.
Especially if you're talking about a head coach who's coming here, and that's one of the things he's trying to underline is that type of energy.
B-Low.
B-Bell.
On the home of the Cowboys, show number one from Oxnard, brought to you by Best Buy Windows and Siding and Wild Fork Foods, along with Rhino Shield and Yardbird Southern Table and Bar. He's been one of the stories of the offseason. He had the number one highlight of training camp this past weekend. Kair Elam sits down with us live on Sean and RJ next.